balls here. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I got a longtime friend of the show, Milan Lucic, joining us. We got together. We said, you know what? You played for the Bruins. I played for the Sabres. They're playing in the first round for the first time in got to be 20 years because the Sabres haven't been in forever. So I said, let's fire it up and we'll do a little playoff preview. Milan, how you doing, bro?
I'm great. I'm doing real good. It's good to be back on the show. And yeah, it's pretty cool to be talking about this. We actually had a playoff series in 2010 against the Buffalo Sabres. That was when Ryan Miller had a great season. He took U.S. to a Olympic gold, silver medal that year, and he won the Vezina. And yeah, so it's very exciting, I think, to see the Buffalo Sabres back in the playoffs, because actually I was talking to a bunch of former teammates down the road asking how the crowd has been in Buffalo, and they said it's been absolutely electric. Yeah. I don't want to call them Bills Mafia. Sabres Mafia is ready to go, and I'm expecting to see some people through tables and all that type of stuff for game one and game two. So as a fan now, I'm very, very excited about this series.
Yeah, I got to go to a few games this year in Buffalo, and it's wild. Like, when I was there, we were garbage, but I grew up right next door in St. Catharines, so the vibe is there, and I hope they do well, but who knows? Because none of these guys on the team, aside from maybe Alex Tuch, have played in the playoffs at all. And you know more than anybody, going in as a rookie, or you haven't been in that atmosphere, that environment, it's crazy. Do you remember your first playoff series back in the day when you were a baby? How tough was that going from regular season to the playoffs, Milan? It's nuts.
Yeah, it was really hard. You know, I guess the one big experience is they do have, like you said, Alex Tuch's been to a Stanley Cup final, and you have Bo Byram there, who's won a Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, which was only, when did they win? 4 years ago? So, you know, it's only 4 years ago since he won the Stanley Cup. But going back to 2008, you know, being a 19-year-old rookie in the league, and we snuck in and finished eighth in the Eastern Conference, and we played the first place Montreal Canadiens. And I just remember it being so loud and so electric in there, you know, that we were kind of overwhelmed by it because we were a little bit of a younger team mixed in with some veterans, and we lost that first game 5-0. But eventually we took it to game seven and lost game seven to Montreal. And you know, one of the things is it can either work for you or against you. And, you know, sometimes when you're young and you don't know what to expect, you're kind of full of piss and vinegar, and you know, it's going to be loud. And, you know, they're starting the series at home, where when I was, like I said, 19 in my first year, we started the series in Montreal. So right away, you know, we have the crowd against us. So this time they're going to have the crowd for them. So they're going to have that energy to feed off of. But like I said, it can work for you because you're not just thinking, you're just playing.
Yep.
And you're just a young guy. You're just going to go out there and play. And I think Lindy is going to do a good job of, you know, managing the temperature of the guys and what to expect. But if you ask me, honestly, since the Olympic break, I've probably watched the Buffalo Sabres more than any other team.
Well, they're so fun to watch.
Because they're so fun to watch, and I wanted to see if they were for real.
Yeah.
And I think from what I've seen since the Olympic break, I got to say, you know, it does – like, there were games where they were down 3-0, and they are not out of it. They just keep coming, and they keep going, and – you know, I know Bo Byram. I've spent summers with him, and, you know, he's a fellow Vancouver Giant alumni. I know what he can bring and the addition that he's brought to this team since he's been traded there. I've also worked out and known Beck Malenstein for a long time. You know, you can even see his play. He's changed a few games just by his physicality. You know, He had that fight with Corey Perry. I mean, those games against Tampa, I watched those games against Tampa. Those were some of the best games of the season, especially that one in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And like I said, they were down and out two times in that game. And, you know, they overcame a lot of adversity this year. The last time we spoke, I think I said to you, they looked like a team that was already quit and, you know, ready for their making their offseason plans. Yeah. And, you know, when a team goes through that adversity and builds that resiliency throughout the year, you know, when they get knocked down and they just keep getting back up, I think this Sabres team has that more than any other team in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do. And like I said, the experience can go either way, you know, it can go either way. You know, even though Tage Thompson doesn't have much playoff experience, he just won a gold medal.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The Olympics adds a lot. And these guys, like him and Dahlin and these guys, played in the Olympics. And they weren't just passengers. They were so incredibly good. And Thompson was on that team not knowing what to expect. The guy was first-line power play. He was playing big minutes, and he was just showing up in the big moments. So when you look at this matchup, you think, obviously, Buffalo second in the East. They should walk through this. But then you look at the Bruins and you go Jeremy Swayman, you go David Pastrnak, you go, okay, Charlie McAvoy. There are pieces there that I'm a Bruins guy. And I look at this matchup in the first round, like, okay, like I don't know, Milan. Like, I'm a little nervous because we've seen Swayman steal series before. Like, he's got that type of pedigree. And there's only a few goaltenders in the league who I think can do that. Vasilevsky can do it. And Swayman, like there's not many who can steal a series. And I think Sway could do that. Are you like, obviously I'm all in on the Sabres. They got elite forwards. They got elite defensemen. I'm nervous that they're going to get a little hiccup and the Bruins are going to get momentum. Then it's going to be over. Do you see Swayman having that kind of impact on this series?
He definitely could. I think last season was a big learning curve for him.
Yeah.
And I think he struggled because he didn't have Allmark and all the pressure was on him.
Mm-hmm.
So him going through that year last year, I think has helped him kind of refocus and recenter and I guess really realize what it takes to be a starting number one.
Yeah.
When you don't have a backup where you're kind of going a
safety 50, blanket, 50. Right? Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, Allmark was the backup or Swayman was the backup. It was 1A, 1B. And then you get thrown into the one position and you know, now everything's on you. Even though, don't get me wrong, Korpisalo is actually, to me, he's a high-end backup goaltender in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the Bruins' success this season has fallen on his shoulders, and it's definitely going to be in this series as well, how well he's going to play. And you brought up, you know, Pastrnak, 400 point seasons in a row. I mean, the guy is just
unstoppable.
You know, by the time he's done, I think he might go down as the greatest goal scorer in Boston Bruins history.
Wow.
You know, I mean, he's only got, I know this is, he's only got like 140 more goals to catch Johnny Bucyk, the Chief. So
that ain't much when you consider he's got 6 years left maybe on his deal. That's definitely doable.
Exactly. And not only that, you know, they're playing good hockey at the right time. You know, like the Zacha line with Arvidsson.
Yeah.
They've, you know, Zacha scored his first 30-goal season. You know, you have Arvidsson who's, I know he's small in stature, but he plays a really hard game. He's been to a Stanley Cup Finals with Nashville, so
he Middlestead's good too.
Middlestead as well, and you know he's going to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder because he got traded from Boston 100%. Or Buffalo.
Yep.
And him and Bo got traded for each other.
Yeah.
So both those guys are going to want to show each other up. Yeah, and then not only that, you know, a guy that I played 4 years with, Elias Lindholm, you know, he's a guy to me that can be an X factor in this series because, you know, just from hearing Boston media kind of be hard on him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I saw him score 40 goals and have, you know, be a big time player in, you know, back in that 21-22 season where we won the division and lost in the second round, you know, he's got another level to his game. And if he can find that level, it's going to create a lot of difficulty for the Sabres. And I mean, just look at the way the fourth line of the Bruins has played the last five, six games going into the playoffs.
Yeah. Like
Kastelic, Janot,
Corrali,
you know, they're depth guys. Yeah. But you know, I think they've all gotten the double digits for goals.
Yeah.
And you know, playoff series sometimes come down to those depth guys. And I go back to my experience in 2011 when we won the Stanley Cup. You know, in the first round, Michael Ryder, Chris Kelly, and Rich Peverly were probably our best line in that series. Yeah. They scored some big goals. You know, our line, me, Krejci, and Horton, even though Horton scored, you know, three game winners and two overtime winners in that series, we actually really struggled. We struggled a lot in that first round. And it was, you know, I think the X factor was Ryder, Kelly, and Peverly. So, you know, when you look at playoff series, they definitely come down to the depth. But for, like I said, watching a lot of the Sabres since the Olympic break, their depth has been, you know, up there with everyone else's in the league.
Yeah, when you look at the last two Cups, like Florida, they don't win it without Lou Steran and Lundell, and then it was Tarasenko, then Marchie last year. And then that's why, like, I want to be able to go Sabres in four, you know, but then I look at the Bruins roster, I'm like, geez, like James Hagan's coming in from BC, Fraser Min, like they have some talent, they have some depth that they haven't had in the last few years. And I just go, I don't know if Buffalo was going to come out of this series. I love Zadorov. He obviously proved it when he was in Vancouver. He's a big game player. Like, that guy lives for this moment. And I could just see him eliminating Tage Thompson. Just going, okay, try it. Try it across the blue line. I'll bury you. Like, that's the type of player he is. And I want to go all in on Buffalo. But I think it's going to be a lot tougher than anybody thinks because the Bruins – they're built for this. That fourth line is a juggernaut. Pasta's been there, done that. Lindholm is a vet, like you said. Finally got bigger a second body. Line score. Like, where's their weakness, Milan, on this team?
It's tough to find, right? Yeah, it's tough to say. I think, but I mean, to me, you know, the defense of the Sabres, their offensive ability, I think, outweighs the Bruins' offensive ability on
the back end there
on the D side. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see because if you ask me, there are two teams with a lot of momentum coming into this series.
Yeah. Since the Olympic break, they've both been on fire. So let's just get down to brass tacks and we'll move on to another series. Sounds like you're taking Buffalo, if that's what you're saying here. Boston Bruin legend. You might have a statue up front when you're done. Who are you going in the first round here, Luch?
You know what? Obviously, my heart is with Boston.
Oh, boy.
But my hockey analytical or hockey side, if I'm picking,
oh boy.
My expertise, I guess you want to say, is Buffalo and six.
Oh, boy. You just crushed a lot of people's hearts right now.
Again, I said my heart is with Boston. I always, you know, deep down, I'm always cheering for Boston. I even find myself cheering for the Celtics and Red Sox and Patriots, even though, you know, I didn't grow up a fan of the Celtics, Red Sox, or Patriots, but I always catch myself cheering for the Boston teams.
Well, you pound around with those guys forever. It's kind of ingrained in you. So you're taking the Sabres in six. I almost convinced
myself. I'm cheering for Boston, but So.
Smart man. You know, as much as I'm blowing smoke up the Bruins behind, it's the Sabres to lose. And I think the key for them is the first two games. If they can get out of the gates and they can get comfortable and they can just get their feet wet and play good. They can split 1-1. I don't care. I think they're fine if they split 1-1. Just don't get railroaded. I don't want – because Boston's going to kind of try to come in and do what Tampa did and just run them over, I think, and just run right through them and just make them feel uncomfortable. And then once you're down, maybe you make mistakes. So If they can manage that first game, I think the Sabres will win in five. That's my prediction. But I could see it going seven. I really could. If Swayman gets hot. Could. That's the key, if Swayman gets hot.
And you know what? This team kind of reminds me of Lindy's New Jersey team that made the play. I think, was it 2022?
Okay,
You know, they get in a lot of rookies, a lot of young guys. You know, I think Palat was the only cup winner.
Yeah.
And they lose the first two games at home to the Rangers. Mm-hmm. And then they go into Madison Square Garden. They win 3-4. And they end up beating the Rangers in seven, who had all that experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so this Sabres team, because it's a Lindy Ruff team, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of that Devils team back in 2022, I believe.
All right. Okay, let's move on. Mentioned Linus Allmark earlier. Played for the Bruins. Now he's with the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa, Carolina. Carolina wins the Eastern Conference for the millionth time in their last 15 years. I feel like they're always first or second in the Eastern Conference. They did it again. Rod Brind'Amour, this team plays a very energetic, up-tempo, puck possession, just solid all-around type of hockey game. They are it's a wash, rinse, and repeat with this team. Don't you think year after year after year, they're the same team, and then you get to the playoffs and you're trying to pick contenders and you go, well, Carolina won the division. Are they really a contender? And I always go, no, they'll lose in the second round or the third round. They won't win a game. And now this year, I think they're going to be bounced in the first round because they run into the Ottawa Senators, who've been one of the hottest teams post-Olympic break. They've been on fire, playing really, really good hockey. But is this the year, Milan, that Carolina slays the Dragon and they make it out of the Eastern Conference into the Stanley Cup Finals?
The one move for me, I think that Carolina has made this year that they hadn't made in the last 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. is they added an enforcer type of player.
Okay.
They finally added a guy like Nick DeLaurier.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that's there that's going to say, hey, like, you're not messing with us and you're not going to run us out of our barn or mm-hmm. your barn. And it doesn't even have anything to do with fighting. It's more of just, you know, him standing there with his chest puffed out,
yeah,
making everyone a couple inches taller and a couple pounds heavier. So I think that will play to their advantage. But again, like you said, they kind of just roll through the Metro in the first two rounds and then they get to the conference finals and they're, you know,
see you later. Gone.
See you later. But this time they're playing an Atlantic Division team, and Ottawa's buzzing and Allmark's figured himself out with whatever his personal leave was, and you know he's a big part of that team, and I think you know their coach there, he did a good job with, I remember with the Canucks in the bubble in 2020, you know, he took him to the second round, game seven. So, you know, he's got some experience as well. And with Travis Green there. And I'm with you. I think this is the one that I have with you on an upset. If there is an upset in the East, it would be the Ottawa Senators taking down Carolina for a lot of the same reasons. Because don't get me wrong, I think what Rod the Bod has done in Carolina, he's built such a great foundation of what he expects from his players. But what he demands from his players, they're probably the best in shape team. But the way they play for an 82 game schedule, especially this year, where it's been so many games.
Back to backs, and
you know, it takes a lot on you, on your body, to play that hard that way for 82 games. So, you know, and I think that's why they've ran out of gas the last three, or whatever, the last
20 years. Probably like seven or 8 years.
The last four conference finals.
Yeah.
I think that's why they've ran out of gas, is because, you know, they just play so hard and eventually they just wear out. But
Why do you think, because for years it was, oh, we don't have you know, that guy, that elite scorer. Well, they go out and they get Jake Guentzel. He signs in Tampa Bay in the offseason. Then they go out and trade for Mikko Rantanen. He gets there and he goes, this sucks. Like, I don't want to play here. So it's not like they haven't tried. They've gone out and tried to get this elite score, and it just has never worked out. Do these guys not want to stay because of the system, do you think? Because you get there and you're used to a certain style of play, a certain culture, maybe getting taken care of. And then you come to this system and Rod the Bod goes, no, you're just like everybody else. If you're not going to run through the boards, if you're not going to play my system, you won't play. You're not going to get the preferential treatment. Do you think that plays into the fact that these guys don't want to stay? Because Guentzel, I had him on the show. They offered him the same, if not more money. Rantanen, they were offering him the same amount of money, and they just decide not to stay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems like there's a trend there with the elite guys, because I watch Rantanen play. That guy's not trying in the D zone that much. Like, he's in the right spot, but he's like, he's looping. He's ready to get going. And Guentzel the same way, where he's like, he's not going to play a Rod the Bod system. And I think that might be an issue, because I played for coaches, and you coach guys differently, right? I'm going to coach Milan Lucic different than I coach David Pastrnak. I'm going to expect different things from them. Maybe Rod doesn't do that. I don't know.
I don't know too much about what goes on internally with that team. Maybe the facilities have something to do with it. I don't know. You know, there are guys like that. You know, a lot of guys are like that. That's why a lot of team practice facilities have turned into what they've turned into.
Palaces. Because
teams lose guys or don't sign guys because of, you know, food and weight room and, you know, how they get taken care of on flights and what hotels they stay at. So, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Word gets around.
Yeah, like, that stuff gets around. But they did sign Nikolai Ehlers. You know, he's not in the same conversation as Guentzel and Rantanen when we're talking about, you know, those guys are 40 goal guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Ehlers is more of a 25 to 35 guy. So, you know, they added him, you know, to provide some extra offense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever they've been doing, you know, they do a good job of getting there and, you know, getting to the conference finals. It's just, they just can't seem to get over that edge, because I think, like you said, when they get to the conference finals, it's like, and I love Sebastian Aho. I think he is a high-end player. I'd have him on my team any day of the week. But I just think other teams' high-end talent over, you know, just it's over.
Better.
Because when the teams go from 16 to 8 to 4, when you get to 4, every team works hard.
Yeah.
That's why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's talent, it's luck, it's bounces,
depth, you know,
all that comes in. Goaltending, all that comes into play. And also, is Freddie Anderson going to be healthy, right?
Who's playing in net? Is it Kochetkov? Is it Bussy? Is it Anderson? Like, that's the thing. It's a whole other issue. Like, do they have that goaltender? I think Brendan Bussy gets the start. He played down the stretch. So, I don't trust this team, Milan. First place in the East. I don't trust either.
I think that's why we're on the same page here. So.
And then another thing is, they're too small. I really think the size does matter. And they go out and they get these shifty forwards. Jarvis is small. Stankoven, Blake, Ehlers is small. I know Staal is bigger, and these guys, they got bigger bodies, William Carrier. I think Ottawa's going to run over them. I really do. I know they got a decent defense, and they got a bigger back end in Carolina, but I tell you what, Brady Tkachuk's a big-game player. Claude Giroux's been there a million times. Dylan Cousins coming in from Buffalo. Love that kid. Like, he plays the right way. They got a good third-line center in Shane Pinto.
And you got Nick Cousins going, stirring it up.
Oh, he's a dirtbag, that guy is. So they just have all the ingredients. I think the big thing for Ottawa, much like Boston, that Swayman needs to steal a few games, Omar just needs to not suck. Like, that's all he has to do. Ottawa's got the best defense in the league. If Omar can just stay out of his own head and just make the saves that he should make, I think Ottawa wins this series in 6 or 7. But it all is dependent on Linus Ullmark if he can just stay out of his own way.
Right, and he's got to prepare for 40 to 50 shots a game.
Yes, not high end shots, just a lot of rubber. Because Ottawa's only given up. That'll be interesting, Milan, to see which one breaks. Because I think Ottawa averages giving up 22 shots a game, something silly like that. They're so incredibly good defensively. Like, just their systems are out of this world. All the forwards have bought in. All the defensemen are really, really good. Which one's going to win out? Because Carolina throws everything at the net, and Ottawa doesn't let anything hit the net. So that'll be kind of a fun thing to be over-under on shots against on Ottawa each game. Like, that'll be a big factor. But okay. Milan Lucic, Stanley Cup champion. Who are you taking in the first round? Ottawa, Carolina?
Ottawa in seven.
Yeah, me too. I'm going, this is my upset. I just feel like there has to be one in the opening rounds, and this is mine right now. All right, moving on. We'll stay in the East. Milan's got to go pick up his kids, so we can't talk too long. Maybe we might have to do a Western Conference one next week. We'll see. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Obviously one of the biggest rivalries in hockey. The Pennsylvania, down the turnpike. Nobody thought Pittsburgh was going to be in this position. They were potentially a lottery pick. They didn't make the playoffs last year. Second place in the Metro. They had a great season. All the old guys who are your age and my age played fantastic. Eric Carlson, Crosby always does it. Malkin having a great season, dealing with some injuries, playing lights out hockey. Letang playing really, really good. They get the second seed. In Philadelphia, since the Olympic break, has been one of the best teams in the league. Rick Tocchet has this team humming, and it's not, you think Philly, you think, oh, Zegras and Michkov. It's the defensive way they play, Milan. They're very, very conservative. They play really, really good hockey. They get Porter. He comes in from the college ranks. He's kind of helped that team transform into a deeper team. And now all of a sudden, they're in the playoffs with the third seed in the Metro. And it's like, damn, this is going to be a good first round series. Philly and Pittsburgh. Out of all of them, I think I'm most excited for this. But what do you think of this series? Kind of cool seeing Crosby back in the mix.
And the NHL is in a better place when Sidney Crosby is in the Stanley Cup playoffs, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So I think in this one, you know, it's obviously the Battle of Pennsylvania. So you got that, you know, it's going to be rowdy in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be even rowdier in Philadelphia. Yeah. Because I mean, the last time they were in the playoffs was the bubble year. So they haven't had a real home playoff game since I don't even know when. Mm-hmm. Here's another thing. Okay. We've got another team, like we were talking about Buffalo and Boston. You have a team in Philadelphia that's coming in hot, red hot, you know? Everyone's feeling really good about themselves. I think Tocchet's going to do a really good job of getting them prepared. My only issue with them is, you know, with a young team that, you know, made it there, is sometimes getting there, you know, they got there.
Yeah.
And now it's like, now they just like, they feel like they can breathe. And it's like, okay, now we're here. It's like, well, now is the time that you got to keep the foot on the gas and not, you're not, you can't relax. Yeah. So that's my one thing with Philly is my issue with Philly is I think there might be relaxed a little bit, but I think the X factor in this is I think Pittsburgh, just with their experience and the way Eric Carlson's been playing.
Yeah.
And you have the big bodies of Malkin, Mantha, Brazeau, you got those guys. And then you have obviously Crosby, who's one of the best captains of all time. And, you know, Crosby's going to have a chip on his shoulder because he just lost, you know, he got injured in the Olympics. He lost the gold medal. He hasn't been in the playoffs for a little bit. So he's going to have that extra chip on his shoulder. And he's probably one of the best big game players we've seen in hockey. So I just think the experience of the players in Pittsburgh are going to run through the Flyers.
Yeah.
I expect it to be an exciting series. I just think it's going to be a short series. So with saying all that, you know, I think Pittsburgh is going to win this one in five.
Yeah.
Just because of all the things I got. I think Tockett's going to do a really good job trying to prepare his team. But just from what I've seen, I don't know if they're going to be able to match Pittsburgh's level as far as experience and size and everything else goes.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think a big thing here is special teams. And Philly's a great story. 5-on-5, they're really good. Their power play is atrocious, like absolutely non-existent. Yeah. They're last in the league, which is crazy because they have some high-end talent. And I've watched them a lot too, because down the stretch, you want to see who's going to make it in and who doesn't. They cannot seem to figure out how to score on the power play. I think they're clipping along like 15-14%, which is so incredibly bad. And their PK is not much better. And in the playoffs, I think we've seen it for the last 10 years, 20 years, special teams is super important. Like, the refs still call it pretty, you know, close in the playoffs. I know that they let a lot go, but you're getting four power plays a game. If you're not scoring on one of them, you're done. And Philly won't, and Pittsburgh will. So I agree. I think they'll win, but I think this is a great step for Philadelphia. They didn't expect to be here. You know, they were sellers at the deadline. They brought in some young blood, but it's good for hockey for this matchup. I think this is good for Michkov and these guys to get some experience. But yeah, I think Pittsburgh is going to walk through. I think it's, if there's one series that'll be a sweep, it'll be this one. I think Pittsburgh, well, they have Stuart Skinner. So which version of Stuart Skinner are we going to get? I don't know. I don't think he needs to be outrageously good to win this series, but it'll be a good battle because Philly is Philly and they're coached by a hard-nosed coach. So I don't know. You taking Philly and Pitt in what, five?
Pitt in five. And I will say, I agree with you. It's really awesome to see Philly back in the mix, because that market with those fans, they just make it fun. I remember we played them twice in the second round in the playoffs, and it's some of the most fun. They had to put, remember when you go down the bus and you're walking up,
like 40 feet above you. Yeah.
Yeah, because they were spitting and yelling at us and throwing stuff at us. Not us in particular, anyone that was coming through. But they had to put the fence there so they couldn't spit on the players and throw stuff
full
at them as we were walking in.
Beer cans they threw down on us when I was in Chicago. Because Chicago beat them in the playoffs for the Stanley Cup the year before that I came. And you know Dave Bolin, he's a little chitster. And so he's flipping them the bird after the game, and they're full Bud Lights, fast as they can, missiles at us. Like, ruthless fans, absolutely ruthless. But yeah, it'll be fun to get back.
As a competitor, I love that. And I can't wait to see the Sea of Orange. So I'll be tuning in for game 3 and 4.
I hope so. All right, sure. We'll wrap it up with the last Eastern Conference matchup. And this is the one I'm actually the most excited for skill-wise and talent-wise, because there's a lot of talent that'll be on the ice here. The Tampa Bay Lightning, second place in the Eastern Conference matchup with the pretty quietly solid season of the Montreal Canadiens, and you obviously have history playing Montreal in the playoffs. How excited are you to see this young, skilled Montreal team, really solid on the back end, match up versus the grizzled vets of Tampa with Kucherov and Hagel and Point and Vasilevsky and Hedman, and the list goes on and on and on. What wins out? What are you most excited for in this series? Because the headlines could go anywhere with this one.
Right. So for me, I think, don't get me wrong, I think Tampa is definitely one of the elite juggernauts in the league. But I think this matchup is more evenly matched than like you said, because I think Montreal has quietly been a juggernaut in the league. And I mean, I love the history of the game. And I think things line up, you know, like spiritually, kind of, if you want to say it that way. I mean, the last time Montreal had a 100-point guy was 1986. And what happened in 1986?
Yeah, Patrick Waugh.
Don't get me wrong. Patrick Waugh was a rookie, and they don't have Patrick Waugh in net. But, you know, they didn't know what they were getting with Patrick Waugh when he came in 86. And it's their first 50-goal scorer in
since Stefan Richer.
36 years. Yeah, in 36 years. And the way Slafkovský has stepped his game up too is, you know, he's showing why he should have went first overall in that draft. And, yeah, I think this series is more evenly matched than a lot of people like to admit. And I think Marty St. Louis has done a really good job. I think he not only does he coach the team, he has done a good job of coaching individuals. He kind of takes that Bill Belichick approach of, here's what you're good at, and this is what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. I don't need you to do more than what you're good at. And, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Like, you know, the whole do your job.
You don't need to play everybody's position. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think when he's done such a great job of not just coaching the team, but he coaches the individuals there in Montreal. And not only that, you know, they got some good depth pieces. You know, Brendan Gallagher, say what you want of how he's been the last few years. He's scored like 30 goals four or five times in this mm-hmm. league. He was on the team in 2021 when they went to the Cup Finals. You know, you got Josh Anderson on the bottom six who, you know, he's going to lay the body.
Getting to Philip Deneau is a big pickup for them too. Like he adds that shutdown center.
Faceoffs are a big, big deal in the playoffs, you know, starting with the puck and Montreal, Tampa, it's going to be a puck possession game. Like whoever has the puck, they're going to be able to, you know, play their game, you know, and do what they want to do. And, you know, Tampa, they're, don't get me wrong, when they have the puck and it's puck possession with Tampa, you know, that it's in the back of your net, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, to me, I agree with you. This is going to be the best series to watch in the Eastern Conference, maybe in the playoffs, in the first ball, maybe outside Dallas, of Dallas, Minnesota. Yeah. But I don't think that Tampa is that much better than Montreal in this series. I don't know how Noah Dobson's feeling. That's, you know, he's got a little bit of an injury, whatever that injury is. Obviously, they just say upper lower body injury, so we don't know what's going on. But again, when you have Vasilevskiy, you know, another 40-win season, you know, to me, Tampa, it comes down to Vasilevskiy.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion is, how is Vasilevskiy going to play? Because if he shuts the door and decides they're not going to score on him, then, you know, Montreal isn't
going to. Yeah, it'll be tough for them. I think this is obviously Tampa's great. And then this is a bounce back year from them as well. They've relied so heavily on Nikita Kucherov this year. And I think it's far more relying on him than years past. I know Gensel had a decent season. Hagel's right there. But then there's a steep drop-off, Milan, after that, to the point where he's got almost 80 more points than a Braden Point, 80 more points than a Cirelli. So that first line of Kucherov, Gensel, and Hagel, if they don't score 2 to 3 goals a game, they lose this series because the depth is not there. And, you know, we talked about it before. It's like if you don't have in Tampa when they were winning cups, it was – Palat, it was Gaudreau, it was Nick Paul, it was all these like secondary scoring guys. It was Hagel was a secondary scoring guy at the time. I don't think they have that this year. And just like the Bruins series, I'm maybe talking my way out of a Tampa pick here, because when you look at the way these teams line up, if Montreal can somehow, and no one has figured out this season, some way to slow down Nikita Kucherov, and just limit him. And much the same way you try to limit a Connor McDavid, different types of players. Kucherov is creative and he puck possession and he can make people around him better, whereas McDavid's just up and down straight lines. If they can limit him, Luch, to like 2 points a game, I think they win this series, right? Because who behind Kucherov who scares you for Tampa Bay to put pucks in the net? Like, it's not Hagel. Point, maybe.
Point, yeah, but is he healthy, right? You know?
So, I don't know. I'm just saying right. It's – Montreal is deep for days. They have a lot of good players up and down their roster, and any different line can score, whether it's the fourth line with Anderson and Jake Evans. Like, they're a solid fourth line, and then their first line is top-notch with Suzuki, Slafkovský, and Caulfield. Right. So, I don't know. we're rounding up the Eastern Conference in the first round here, and I thought I was going to be all in on Tampa Bay. It's a no-brainer pick. I think I have them going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I kind of want to pick Montreal because that's the team I retired for. Like, that's my alma mater. I played all of one game there. And, you know, I feel like an allegiance to that team, but I want to hear your picks first. So, obviously, you've played against both these teams in the playoffs. Who were you taking in the first round here? Tampa, Montreal.
So, even before we said all this, my mind was made up before I came on, and I actually have Montreal winning this series
really?
In 6 games.
Okay.
Yes.
So you got Montreal in 6.
I think they're going to find a way. I think they're going to find a way to beat Tampa at their own game, and I think they're going to edge out. I think Montreal is going to edge Tampa Bay in 6 games.
The last time these two teams played, I think there was 120 penalty minutes. They had an absolute dogfight. Somewhere in the last year and a half, Tampa just turned into the big bad bullies. They just went from like ultra skill to like, we're going to be pricks. We're going to hate. And maybe they've been that way all along, or maybe they learned it from the Florida Panthers. I don't know. But I think this is where they're going to try to take the series into the gutter.
But I also feel like that kind of works against them. You know, I think they get when they get emotional like that and they start feeling like they need to do that, they kind of get away from what makes them good. If you understand 100%. What I'm saying, where they were doing that against Florida and then Florida would beat them. They did that against Buffalo in those Buffalo games after the Olympic break, and Buffalo would beat them. It's just when they would turn it into a street fight, you know, I always found they came out on the losing end. And don't get me wrong, they're a more physical team than they get credit for, but they need to me, it's almost goes back to my two experiences in the Stanley Cup Finals. And in 2011, I think the Canucks game plan against us, what went against them was they were like, all right, we're going to show the Bruins that we're not going to be bullied by these guys. We're not going to back down to these guys instead of just playing their game, because I think that year they scored like 300 goals and they won the Jennings. They were like a plus 125 plus minus goal differential rate. And you know, and then Burrows bit Bergeron and Hamus hip checked me. And when he hip checked me, he ended up getting a hernia. He herniated himself by hip checking me. Yeah. So like, you know, they got caught up, you know, and Max LaPierre was doing what he was good at. So they kind of focused more on the street fight than they did, you know, what made them good. And then in 2013, when we played Chicago in the finals, Chicago, like, you know, when we tried to turn it into a street fight, they just looked the other way the whole time. They just looked the other way and we're like, we're just here to play and we're just, you know, we're going to play between the whistles. And that was it. And Chicago beat us and we beat Vancouver. And I think if Vancouver just played between the whistles and just played and didn't wake us up, they might have beat us as well. We don't know. But, you know, I kind of find Tampa in that place where when they try to turn it into a street fight, it works against them. And when they just focus on playing in between the whistles, they're a juggernaut like they've shown.
No, I agree. I think that makes perfect sense. So all that being said, I'm still taking Tampa. I can't get away from their experience. I can't bet against Kucherov and Vasilevsky. I just can't. Like, I like Dobish for Montreal. I think he's an incredible goaltender. I think Lane Hudson is great and Dobson and their team is great. I just don't think they're there yet to beat Tampa Bay. It's Kucherov. He's one of the, I think he's your Hart Trophy winner. I think he's a special player and I think he wins this first round series. So that being said, so I think we picked different teams a couple different times. So it'll be interesting how this shakes out. We'll have to have you on before the second round and do this again. I appreciate you coming on. You got to go get your kid. I appreciate it again. Thanks everybody for listening. We'll do this again in a couple weeks, Luch. Maybe a week and a half. What do you think?
All right. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.